So, Jed, how are you surviving Winter Storm Stella?
It's good. It's my first, well, it was supposed to be my first blizzard, but it wasn't really a blizzard. And but it's been cold, and as a guy from L.A., it always takes a little adjustment.
And did you get a chance to get out and walk the streets of New York?
I actually did go out earlier today. I went out and got a delicious sandwich.
So the city was functioning.
Today's show is brought to you by a delicious sandwich. Yeah, you know, it was functioning mostly, but all the delivery services were shut down in preparation for the blizzard that never happened.
Well, I think this is your last shot for a blizzard this year. I don't anticipate any further nor'easters. But then again, you know, March, mid-March is unusual.
Yes, not the most unusual thing that happened in March. Maybe it's just part of March Madness. Maybe this is all an elaborate scheme by the NCAA tournament to get people excited about watching basketball.
Could be. Let's talk baseball.
Let's do that instead.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about the weather. I have family that's in Connecticut, and they're...
And who are you again?
Oh, yeah, I'm John Sumple.
Oh, okay.
And you're Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney. Hi, John Sumple.
At John Sumple, at Jed Rigney, on Twitter. On yes. The Twitter. So I have family in Connecticut, and they're experiencing a little bit more than the blustery snow that you got. They were at like 9 or 10 inches this morning at around... Well, my time. So it's probably 1-2 o'clock their time. So yeah, Stella's got her groove back up in New England.
Interesting thing about that. Well, we'll get into the significance of Stella after this message from our new sponsor. Hi, listeners. If you're like most Americans and you're starting to get pretty darn disappointed about promises being made left, right, center, and alt-right. Today's show is brought to you by another government lie. Winter Storm Stella. The blizzard of the year, they said. 15 to 20 inches of snow, they said. 50 miles per hour winds, they said. All lies. Just more alternative facts and fake news. Or should I say, flake news.
Boy, that's timely.
Yeah.
You're right on top of the news.
Yeah. Well, look, the thing about sponsors is you got to get while the getting's good.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. They're getting. Here's the thing about Stella. First of all, great name for a storm, right? Stella! Anyway. Right. But then here's the thing about how Stella got her groove back. Like, didn't it turn out that she married a young guy, but then he turned out to be gay? And there's nothing wrong with being gay, of course, but like, I don't think she thought he was gay.
Right. That would be a strange groove. That would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it turns out he may have just married that woman, because it's based on a true story. Married her to get citizenship in the United States.
So that wasn't
not
told
to ruin
in the movie,
that movie. Not, no, that's because that came out like long after. Not to ruin that movie for all of you listeners. That wonderful movie
came out 10 years ago.
That came out. I think it's more than that, John.
Probably is.
Check your calendar. I think it's more like 15, 20. Anyway, yeah, we were pretty disappointed here because it was supposed to be a blizzard, and all the businesses and schools—not all the businesses, but most businesses—shut down. And then it just was kind of a little snowstorm in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of those things where, you know, people are all excited and get amped up because the news makes it out to be, you got to be prepared, and you do, because you never know. You might be snowed in for a couple of days.
Right. And especially snowed in New York, right? Which is the most important city of all the cities in the United States.
And
as
the
news will, as the news will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
If they had this snowstorm in Minnesota, you think anyone would care? Like, no, that's Minnesota. Get over it.
Yeah, we expect that. But not in New York. So, yeah, and I know Boston's getting I have a friend that lives up north of Boston, about 20, 30 miles north of Boston, and they had 18 inches of snow a couple hours ago.
Today's show is also brought to you by John's Friends.
John's Friends.
John's
and family.
Friends, located all up and down the Eastern Corridor.
Covered by Stella. So I think we've covered meteorology for...
That's right. We said no politics, John, but we didn't say no meteorology.
Time to talk some baseball.
Let's do it.
So World Baseball Classic is probably the most exciting thing in the baseball world right now.
Yeah. I'm trying to get into it, I just can't get into it.
It's so hard. I mean, I love the sport. And yeah. I think part of it is that Major League Baseball in the media, not necessarily, or more the broadcast media, wants to make it sound like it's a bigger deal than it is. It just doesn't have the legs yet.
Right.
Maybe it will 20, 30 years from now, or maybe it'll be gone 5 years from now. Who knows?
That's the big play, right? Like maybe 20 years from now, it's like the World Cup, but for baseball.
Right.
I love baseball, and I can't bring myself to even watch any of it. I can't figure out who's on what team. And
yeah, it is a little bit confusing because we don't see any national baseball.
Also, John, baseball. I don't see colors, okay? I don't believe in – all right, no, that's one of those.
But there was an exciting game. Was it Colombia and Dominican Republic?
But is it an exciting game if no one watches it?
Well, it was 3-3 in the 10th inning when they do that, you know, runners on second and third, one out thing. And the DR scored 7 runs. So they turned an exciting 9-inning game into a laugher in a matter of minutes. Took a little steam out. So the Dominican Republic came back in 2 games against the U.S. and against Colombia to look like the powerhouse that they are, but they're a little bit vulnerable.
I will say something about soccer. As much as I hate soccer and don't think it's a real sport, it works for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I just don't think baseball works for the World Cup. I think soccer is so boring that sort of the nationalities involved, like that's how boring soccer is it's more boring than baseball, which is admittedly boring, but it's like, oh, they're all wearing the same uniforms. They kind of run around. Oh, look, that guy might try to score. No, not for this half hour. Okay, good.
Right.
And I think that works for soccer. I don't think it works for baseball.
And I think one of the reasons why is because baseball fans are, true baseball fans are, you know, kind of like really into the statistics and the science and not necessarily the science, but the intelligence side of baseball, where casual fans can go to a soccer game and they don't have to know anything and they just start chanting and have no idea what's going on and singing, you know, and wearing scarves and yeah, just for fun.
Yeah.
And baseball is not something you sit there and go, unless you're in Japan and the Japanese go crazy. They have those thunder sticks and they chant throughout the whole 9 innings. I don't know if I would enjoy that.
I've been to the Anaheim games when they used to do that. That is not a good experience for anyone. Yeah.
You leave with a headache.
Yeah, but also, like, who are you if you're there and you're clapping sticks together for 3 hours? Come on.
You're not a baseball fan.
What are you doing? It's you like, deserve to be hit by a foul ball. No offense if you have been.
So we're not high on the World Baseball Classic.
I want to be, but we're not.
There is some excitement. There is some excitement. It gets more exciting as we get closer to the final group.
No.
No? Doesn't?
No. I mean, who's in, like, do you know who's in the final group? I get these alerts on my phone. I still don't know. Like,
we still have 8 teams in it, so it hasn't even whittled down yet. So we've got a ways to go.
I think the problem is when the World Cup is happening. This is the problem. When the World Cup is happening, there's no other thing happening in soccer that's also happening.
True.
That's like, oh, I'm kind of my attention on this other thing. Like, no one's worrying about their fantasy soccer draft or what their favorite team is going to do as soon as the World Cup is over. So it's like when the World Baseball Classic's going, it's like, okay, great. So this is happening now, but also what's happening with my Dodgers or my Astros or my Marlins or my Rays for that guy in St. Petersburg that's a Rays fan.
Right, and there is a little bit of that mentality. It's like I really would prefer to have my players back on my team and not screwing around in the World Baseball.
Right. Well, then, like, what Sal Perez almost got his legs taken out. Like, that would have been bad. But I mean,
that's the biggest risk for something like this, especially when it's at the start of a season. It's not midway through. It's not at the end of a season. It's like at the very beginning when everybody is a little bit rusty.
At the end of the season, would that work? Is just the weather's too bad for it?
Indoor stadiums. We talked about this.
I'm starting to think that end of the year is the way to do it because then there's no one's doing. Oh, you know what though? Think about this situation. Guy's a free agent at the end of the year.
Right. He's not going to want to get hurt and
goes in. I guess some guys don't play anyway. I don't know. I think it should be end of the year. I don't think it should be beginning of the year because I think too many people are distracted by what's actually happening in baseball.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
What else is there?
Let's see. Pedro Alvarez, you know, a big bat that just has been laying around on the hitter's shelf this offseason. Finally signs a minor league deal with the Orioles, back with the team he was with last year, but for a pittance, not the big bucks.
Yeah, shockingly, long time to sign him, and then a minor league deal. And then, first of all, why did they sign him? They don't need room for him.
No.
So he's a backup in case someone gets hurt. They got Adam Jones in center. They got the Korean guy Kim in left. That's a pretty safe bet, right? Korean guy Kim. Sorry, that's a little racist. I think they're all, most of them are named Kim, is what I'm trying to say. Whether it's their first name or the last name. And then in right field is Seth Smith and then Joey Rickard or something like that, right? A little platoon. I don't know. Is he DH?
He's an insurance policy in the sense of if he has a good spring.
He's a good hitter. Why is he an insurance policy? I still feel like we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like that market has just got turned on its head. And I think I was thinking, like, why doesn't he go to the Red Sox? They got Moreland, but isn't that the same thing, basically? Moreland and, and him? I don't know.
Well, and also, too, you got to look at, and you get into the micro statistics, too, is what ballpark fits just a bat.
Yeah.
And he's just a bat. So, you know, you would think the teams would be looking at that bat as a, he's a DH, and that's the best fit for him because his defensive metrics are horrible.
Yeah, I mean, he has to be just a DH. So, you know what? In fairness to the Red Sox, Moreland can play first base.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, anyway.
Maybe he should sign with the Rockies or get traded to the Rockies.
Man.
Because Ian Desmond is now out with a broken hand.
Ian Desmond, broken hand.
That sucks.
It's perfect for the Rockies, though, right? Because Tom Murphy broke his forearm today. he's the catcher. He's supposed to be their big catcher, you know, whatever. So he's out for 6 weeks also. Breaks are better than sprains as a general rule. So that's good. And then, isn't Dahl injured? He's got a rib problem. Yeah. So they got all these injuries and then all of a sudden their off season moves don't look so stupid, even though they're still kind of stupid. Like, okay, good. Well, now we need to figure out someone else to play first base because our plan to have Ian Desmond play first base didn't work out.
Yeah, and they're probably, you know, thinking, why couldn't he have broke his hand a couple of days earlier because we could have picked up Pedro Alvarez?
Yeah.
So maybe now the Orioles have a chip to trade Alvarez, pick up a minor leaguer.
I don't think they
leader.
Can, right? Can they?
Oh, a minor league deal. No, I don't think he can. Well, I don't know. Can he?
I think a free agent signing can't be traded until June. Okay. I guess he could, you know, waive that right or whatever. But they're not going to put him at first. I think they're going to put, like, Parra at first before they put him first. Also, don't they have Mark Reynolds still?
Do they? I don't know. I'm not an expert on the Rockies.
You know what?
Lineup.
John, I ask one thing of you. Know everything about every team.
Every team. I failed miserably.
What else is there?
We've got Chris Bryant one-upping your boy Mike Trout on the second-year service contract. So he goes from a paltry $550,000-ish to a huge $1 million payday for the best player in the National League.
So $1,050,000, right? $1.05 million. So, and this is what's crazy about baseball contracts is – the first 2 years he plays, basically, it's the league minimum, $500,000. And then his third year, as the best player in the National League, he gets $1 million. If he was a free agent right now, what would he be worth? I mean, he was
30?
Six wins above replacements, right? Seven last year.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 years, seven wins above replacement works out to approximately $50 million worth of value.
Yeah, that's big value.
So if a team could sign him right now at, what is he, like 25?
Yeah, 24, 25, yeah.
At least 10-year, $400 million contract. Am I not mistaken?
No, I would agree with that. Absolutely.
$400 million contract if he was a free agent right now. What does he get, John?
$1 million. $1 million.
Right? Record-breaking.
Right.
$1 million.
And we talked about this a little bit last week, too, about how upside down it is. So you'll get somebody who's on the back end of their career, and they're going to sign a three-year deal for, you know, $75 million. It's like, what? Huh? What? I don't quite understand. We talked a little bit about it, but I understand it for the long term or on the same team because they're paying them back for the years of servitude at $500,000 a year. And, you know, that makes sense. But, you know, you look at somebody like Albert Pujols, and he goes off to the Angels and makes a boatload of money and is not really – he had a decent year last year. But he's not.
I mean, he's been sort of solid, right?
Solid, but not worth that superstar. Contract. He's not. Yeah. He's not the face of baseball anymore by any means. But he's making face of baseball money.
Yeah, he's up in that $30 million a year range. Yeah, I don't know that they necessarily need to change it. You know, because I think also in baseball, it's not like football. You know, there's a similar situation. Not to digress too much here, but there's a similar situation with the Patriots with Malcolm Butler, of course, the Super Bowl hero from a couple years ago. Is it 3 years ago?
Two years ago, three Super Bowls ago.
Right, three Super Bowls ago, right. So interception on the goal line, saves the Super Bowl, wins, blah, blah, blah. This guy was working at a UPS store or whatever, Walmart, you know, before the season. The Patriots pick him up, and he's been making the league minimum. And this year is the first year where he gets a restricted free agent status. And I think he can make $4 million. And, of course, there's, like, some contention because it's football and you want to pay, you know, the team. The Patriots don't want to pay more than they have to, and all they have to pay is $4 million. But the player is like, man, I hurt my knee, and that $4 million is all right. I get, and I'm a superstar now. He's one of the top 10 cornerbacks in the league. But their system is a little bit different because, A, you're more likely to be injured and not play ever again. Mm-hmm. B, contracts aren't guaranteed in the NFL. Whereas in baseball – it's like, yeah, you're only getting $1 million, but you probably got a big signing bonus. And even if you don't, if you are the best player in the National League for 1 year, you'll probably be able to play for 5 or 6 years, no matter what.
Well, think about it too. You know, the difference between baseball and football. Football are, they're gladiators. They say, we're going to pay you the big dollars and we're going to throw you out there and you give it your all. Even if you break a leg, you got to do whatever it takes to get the win. In baseball, it's like you stubbed your toe, you're on the DL, we got to protect our investment.
We're going to give you the day off tomorrow, Dave.
Yeah, so take it easy. You know, we're paying you a lot of money. We just don't want to risk it. In football, it's like wrap up that toe and get right back out there. Earn your money. Because they know, and then that's part of it too, from the player's perspective, more in football, I think, than any other sport, is that one injury and I could be done.
Right. You know, I think the baseball stuff is not awesome, but at the same time, like, everyone's making a lot of money, so, you know, I do feel, I guess you feel a little bit bad for the guy who, like, kind of ekes out a 4 or 5 year career and kind of only makes a couple million bucks over all that time. It's kind of like,
And unfortunately, a lot of those players spend, you know, especially in the sports where they're drafted right out of high school or early in college, where they make the big signing bonus and they party with their friends. Let's talk Johnny Manziel, for example.
Right.
You know, it's all about the party. And and what's his name that went to the Raiders, and Jamarcus Russell, that was awful.
Right.
You know, it was all about the posse and having fun and they blow their money. And then it's like, okay, I'm 4 years out of college and my meal ticket is gone.
Right.
And whether it's due to injury, whether it's due to immaturity issues, whatever that might be, these guys, whereas baseball players, they think that when they go in, unless it's some sort of catastrophic injury, but you know, baseball players like, oh, well, we'll put you on the DL for a year and a half and you can come back when you're ready.
Yeah.
And they still have a chance.
And also like, oh, okay, then, you know, hey, I'm going to try being a pitcher instead. And, oh, I'm going to do a comeback.
Right.
And I mean, heck, Manny Ramirez is playing in Japan right now. Like, this is a better sport for longevity. But man, it's weird to see Chris Bryant only getting $1 million.
It is. It is strange. So we can, you mentioned Manny Ramirez. So he's getting ready to play in Japan. You have Eric Gagne, who's turning heads with his low 90s fastball and his still goofy Bugs Bunny changeup. He's getting some serious looks. So again, there's a perfect example of how many 42-year-old football players do you see out there? That doesn't happen.
It's Brady, right? That's it.
Yeah. And
he's
and then
coming up on 40.
Do you remember Steve DeBerg?
Yeah.
So I think he finished his career with maybe the Bucks but he was a journeyman and he wound up playing. I think he was a quarterback until he was 45 years old and still play and was effective. So he's one of the rarities in the sport for sure. But Brady, you know, he'll keep strapping it on until Belichick retires. or vice versa.
I wouldn't have been surprised if he retired after this year, but then he just seems to keep wanting to play, and I don't know. I would be worried about all those concussions, but he is in great shape,
mm-hmm.
and Patriots made some nice moves this week to help him out, yep. and
he may be
make another run at it.
He may be gimping his way through his retirement, but yeah. other than that, I mean, you can't walk away from silly money and all that fame, and still at yeah. the top of his game, which
and success,
yeah. As long as they keep winning.
Like,
if they have an 8-8 year, he'll be probably inspired, like, we're going to come back and give it one more shot. And if things go sideways yeah. again, then he'll call it quits.
Well, I'm hoping he gets suspended for the first four games again.
Yeah, because that helps.
That's a nice little break.
Elongate his career. So another story, Phillies trade for the ambidextrous pitcher from the Seattle Mariners. And I don't quite know how to, is it Pat Venditti or Pat Vendit?
I mean, I was assuming it was Vendite.
Vendite, okay.
But it's probably Vendite.
Vendite, maybe he's. So he's a robo pitcher.
Obviously, this isn't a significant signing for a loss. It's not a significant loss for anyone or a significant gain for anyone. I just love that there's an ambidextrous pitcher. And how cool would it be if there were just more of those? And maybe, you know, it's like an X-Men thing where, like, there's going to be more mutants coming in the future. And we get guys who can throw, you know, over the top and then sidearm mm-hmm. and left-handed and right.
And every other pitch, man. Too. That would be yeah. great. They just have a second glove yeah. on the mound or one that fits both hands. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I think
that
that's what he does, right? He does a glove that he can switch out. I think that way it's not a rules violation.
So he can turn around and kind of rub up the baseball with the rosin
yeah.
and then come back, yeah. you know, throwing left-handed.
Yeah,
that would be fun to see with a switch hitter up.
Up against a switch hitter, that's the big thing, right? And they just keep switching sides.
And the game lasts 7 hours. So you have a...
And all their work to speed up the game is ruined by Pat Vendite.
I want to watch that game. That's going to be fun. So another big, big announcement. I mean, probably one of the biggest announcements in Yankees spring training is that Clint Frazier was forced to get his hair cut.
Because it was a distraction, John.
Because it's a rule, isn't it?
It's a distraction.
Why is it a distraction?
Having hair that comes out of the cap is a distraction. I don't know.
It's the Steinbrenner
freaking
rule.
Freaking Yankees, man.
You know, it's Steinbrenner's daughter said that they just wanted to keep that tradition. They feel like it's part of the yeah. Yankee way.
I don't know. I guess we should and be Don lucky Madden, they let African Americans play. I don't know. It's weird.
That would be Boston, wouldn't it?
Hey, just because we were last doesn't mean we're not the best. No, it does, actually. It means it.
Okay, so
they were the last team, right? Weren't the Red Sox the last team to...
Yeah, and they still got flack even. I remember back in the 70s and 80s as being slow to embrace the color barrier.
The Boston white-black thing has always been a weird thing. Like, look at all the Boston movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't put black people in them.
Hmm.
But there's a lot of black people in that area. Like, but it's just something about that area where they just kind of parse it out for some reason. I don't know. But think about it. Think about a Boston movie you've seen, and think about how many black people were in that movie.
Yeah, I'm drawing blank.
Exactly. There's a lot of black people in the Boston area. So, anyway. It's a weird thing. I don't want to say it's racist, but it's racist.
Well, maybe we're touching on something controversial, which will actually boost listeners.
Okay.
So let's go down that rabbit hole. Did you hear what they said on Fall Territory? They threw Boston under the bus.
This is the foulest territory.
We're going into the foulest territory with this conversation. Let's reel it back in with something uplifting, like Jose Reyes being sued by ex-girlfriend and model over their love child, who's 7 years old, and Reyes is married with 3 kids of his own and doesn't
right.
give child number 4 the time of day.
I think Jose Reyes has some problems. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jose Reyes has some problems.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? Multimillionaire, famous athlete, getting around. I don't know. Wear a condom, guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like the
wear a condom.
That, you know, sports figures are untouchable. The Tiger Woods syndrome. I can do whatever I want, and nothing will affect me. But eventually,
it's like famous people, right? Like Schwarzenegger's got at least one kid from a maid or a housekeeper,
right,
or whatever.
That was,
you know?
Guys,
wear a condom.
Supermodel ex maid, right? That would be a big no. And there's nothing wrong with that. Boy, we're just really digging up the deep hole today.
Well, at least he announced that he's not running for senator.
Oh, that's good.
Schwarzenegger.
Because his career as the apprentice host is just on an upward arc for him.
Well, I mean, technically, what he should be running for next is president.
Right.
That's what you do when you are the apprentice host. You're then the president. We all seen this now.
And the thing is, he's got a leg up on Trump because he's actually served in a political capacity.
One could say it's a leg down because one of the worst governors in California's history, and there's been some really bad governors in California.
Well, you have Jerry Brown back for stint number two.
Jerry Brown. Oh, man. Jerry Brown.
Yeah, I remember Jerry Brown back in his stoner Linda Ronstadt days. Flower
was it
power.
Last week? You're talking about last week?
Back in the good old days, back in the 70s.
Yeah.
So we're wandering a little bit here. We're touching on politics. We're going into gray territory.
Gray Davis?
What? Huh?
Gray Davis, former governor of California?
I don't even know who that is.
I will tell you something about Gray Davis. I'll never forget this lesson my dad taught me when I was a young man. Never trust a person whose name is two last names.
Okay. Gray Davis.
That's a good rule. Gray Davis. Mm-hmm. Hey, before we move on, I wanted to mention something about Manny Ramirez because we brought him up earlier and how exciting that is, of course. But the most exciting thing about it is as part of his contract, he is given unlimited sushi.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say PEDs. Well,
probably that too. probably just gets those from Hong Kong across the water there. Here's the thing. He gets a driver in a Mercedes and he gets a hotel room, which they were saying like it was like, whoa, 600 billion yen a night, which came out to like $600. And I was like, $600 a night? That's kind of expensive. I mean, I wouldn't pay that, but that's not exactly like the most expensive hotel I've ever heard of.
No.
It's kind of reasonable.
Is this a marketing
ploy,
more or less?
These are just like the things in his contract to get him to come.
Well, they're encouraging him to come, but is the team, I don't even know what team he signed with, is this intended to put people in the
Japanese
seats?
Nagasaki's. I don't know. The Hiroshima decimation.
Carp. Wasn't there the carp or something?
There is a carp, actually, yeah. I think there's a Giants and a carp. And, of course, there's Godzilla, but I don't think he's...
We're going to get so much hate mail now from our Japanese listeners.
There's Mothra. The Kombuchi Mothra.
Gamera,
yeah. Yeah. World Series winners last year.
It sounds like
the Shogun.
It sounds like we're devaluing Japanese baseball, Korean baseball, and... well, not really. It's just...
I'm
sure
it's fun.
You know, listener... Just in case you haven't figured it out, this is more, this is a baseball podcast, but there is a lot of comedy and humor intentionally thrown in.
Right.
So that means that.
Attemptedly.
And that means whenever you're using comedy, that, you know, when you wander into the gray space, that you can always say, well, it's comedy. So, you know,
that's right.
We can do that.
That's right. One more thing about Manny, John. Mm-hmm. Is that the back of his jersey will say Manny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Manny being Manny.
He didn't want Ramirez because there was another Ramirez that played in Japan for 10 years.
And he didn't want to be confused?
I guess he didn't want to confuse other people, but it may just be that he wasn't trying to confuse himself.
It's probably the latter. So
how are we doing on time, John? This feels like we're long.
We're 30 minutes in.
Oh, we're fine.
We're good.
Who cares?
Got another 30. So Manny being Manny, does Manny have the dreadlocks still? Is he going full dreadlocks?
It looks like it. Okay. Yeah, it looks like it.
Is he pudgy Manny or trimmed
up. Oh, he's pudgy.
Pudgy Manny, okay.
Oh, yeah. He has not eaten any sushi.
He needs to start. He needs to go full sashimi, stay off the rice, with the protein.
That's not all the look.
No, that's not going to happen.
That's not at all the look, no.
Okay, let's wrap up.
Apparently he found a pizza place. That would be my guess.
And a burger and fries joint, too, probably. Yes. Okay, let's move on to the starting nine. Do we have a starting nine?
We do. We have one for the World Baseball Classic.
Okay. What do we got?
Okay. We got, in celebration of the World Baseball Classic, I have nine players or so. I lost track. I don't have them numbered. Representing other places in the world.
Okay. That's...
So here we go.
We could be all...
Derek Holland.
Nice.
Right?
It's a
For the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Dutch. Of course, Netherlands, also that's kind of a Pujols thing, right? Because it's kind of that's, sometimes I call that area my Netherlands. Anyway, okay, Steven Strasburg, Strasburg, Germany. Mm-hmm. Billy Hamilton, Hamilton, Ontario, A.
A.
Right? Mm-hmm. Josh Bell, Belgium.
That's a stretch.
Tyler Glasnow for Glasgow or Glasgow.
Okay, or Glasnow.
Scotland.
Russia doesn't have a team in, though. Neither does Scotland, for that matter.
No, but these aren't okay, places just, that have teams. Just, they're just different places in the world, lesson. Man.
I got it.
Yeah. Okay. They're just different places in the world.
Okay.
And Glasgow and Glasnow are very similar.
I could see that being...
Some of these aren't exact, John.
No, that's good. I was...
They're not all Derek Holland, okay? We can't all be Derek Holland.
Keep going.
Isn't he the guy with the mustache? All right.
The pencil mustache?
Yeah, the little mustache. I think child
he's
molester.
Beyond that.
Has he? Good for him.
Okay, what do we got next?
All right. I still have like a few more to go here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Carrasco for Curaçao.
Okay. I'm listening.
A little bit of a she sells seashells by the seashore there, right? Carlos Carrasco, Curaçao. Right?
Yes,
fun?
That's fun.
You guys at home can play this...
Have a few drinks and try to say that twice.
How about Cameroon Mabin?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Zach Britton, mm-hmm. Brighton, mm-hmm. right? And also Britton, if you say it another way, if you say it slightly different,
right.
Zach Britton, oi, I'm from Brittonland. Right?
Right.
Corey Seager, come on, Mediterranean Sea.
Okay.
That's not a place... per se, but there's lots of other sea places. Salton Sea, mm-hmm. That's America, though, right? Yes. And last but not least, what happens in Kennis Vargas stays in Kennis Vargas.
That's personal.
That's actually kind of gross if you put it that way.
That's it.
That's the starting nine. That's but that may have been 10.
That's okay. DH.
Okay. That's right, DH. Okay, good. It's American League team.
So now let's move on to the preseason preview. We've been doing this for the last, this is the fourth one out of six divisions. So we covered the AL East and West, or the AL West and NL West. And last week we talked about the AL East. And now we flip it over to the NL East. And the drop off from the powerhouse of the AL East to the depletion or the disappointment, or the...
It's more like the outhouse, right?
The outhouse.
From the powerhouse to the outhouse.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on.
That's jokes, John.
But, you know, there's things going on here. There's I would say, new blood and the potential rebirth of...
Oh, because of Jose Fernandez?
No, I was thinking more of the Braves and Phillies.
All right, that's just a terrible joke. Just an absolutely barbaric joke. Anyway, yes, I agree with what you're saying. Go on.
So the Braves and Phillies are teams to watch, in my opinion. And
I think
a lot of other people's opinions as well. I think.
Well, let's run these numbers real quick.
Let's do it.
And then we'll get into each team, and I will agree with you on those points exactly. Nationals, 91 wins. Mets, 85. Marlins, 78. Braves, 73. Phillies, 72. You want to start at the top or start at the bottom?
Yeah, let's start at the top. I think that all eyes are on the Nationals. They made some. They Derek Norris and Matt Wieters and Derek Norris.
Well, Norris
bye bye.
They cut him. They cut.
But they signed him to cut him.
Yeah,
you know, he thought it was.
They
his
signed
job.
Him in case they didn't have a catcher really until they got some guy in the minor leagues. I think they're hoping to develop.
So, yeah, just but it, I mean, you think about it from Severino. His point of view is that,
yeah,
wow, they're signing me to be their everyday catcher, and then he's gone. So he must have been too, he must not have been too happy when they signed Wieters because they.
Well, also, I think he bat 170 last year. So that was probably disappointing also for him.
That was probably disappointing to the Nationals, but they signed him anyway.
Yeah, you know, I didn't understand that move in the first place, but, you know, Wieters is better than, than Norris, so that's an improvement to the team, though I don't know that he's as much of an improvement as what they paid, because they're paying like an extra $10 million. You use that for something else, you know?
So I guess the big question really is in the NL East, are the Mets going to be the Mets from 2 years ago or the Mets of last year? Do the Nationals really have any competition in this division?
I thought the Nationals 2 years ago were better than the Mets, and then just sort of fell apart a little bit, and the Mets won. But I feel like that Mets team is, of all the teams we've talked about so far, is the most volatile with their prediction, their projection. Mm-hmm. I feel like they could win 92 games, or they could win 80 games.
Yeah, and it all comes down to pitching for them.
And it all comes down to that pitching staff, because they have that, they've built everything on that. I wish that they would just get themselves a little bit more defense. They have sort of chosen, like, well, we'll just put this good batter on the. They have a lot of good batters, no great ones. A lot of good batters. Am I right about that? Yeah. They don't have a great batter.
I mean, they have. I think really what they have is they have a lot of decent bats and not a lot of decent defense.
Yeah, it's bad defense, and so that makes the pitching staff worse. Mm-hmm. Of course, as we saw last year with the Cubs, the defense making the pitching staff better. But I could easily see them winning 92 games, and I could easily see them, you know, I don't know if I can say lose 92 games, but I think I could see them in the high 70s.
Well, all it would take is for more injuries to the pitching staff.
Yeah.
We have no idea what Harvey's going to be like.
Yeah, Harvey's a mess right now. And Wheeler's not coming back for a while. Yeah. And
DeGrom's coming back from a shutdown.
Yeah.
And Syndergaard has bulked up and preparing himself for a long season. So we'll see.
Mats will probably get injured. That's kind of his thing.
So when you put just 2 years ago, we were talking about how dominant this team was going to be for the next decade because of the pitching staff, and the wheels came off last year.
Yeah,
it was unfortunate. And that's the tough thing, you know, with pitching, and especially the way that we're looking at pitchers these days. And a lot of it has to do with kids being overworked in high school and college.
Yeah.
So you have kids coming into their, you know, senior year in high school, and they're talking Tommy John. It's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So you've got a predisposition for throwing as hard as you can, as long as you can in high school to get noticed, to get signed. And then, you know, the mentality really has become that it's okay to have Tommy John surgery when you're in the minors because you can bounce back in a couple of years and you'll still be of value if you show the power pitching numbers, you know, in high school and college. Yeah. Which is weird to me, but you know, you're seeing.
Yeah, you have the Mets here. Of course, they have the problem with Juris Familia, right? David Wright is already out.
Yeah,
right.
That's unfortunate.
Juris Familia is going to get suspended. What, 30 games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what they gave to Chapman for the. There was a domestic violence thing, but it was kind of an unprosecuted thing. Feels like 30 days is going to be his thing. But that's it's good. It's an excellent starting rotation if everyone's healthy. It's a decent offense and it's a bad defense and a good bullpen. And I think that's an 85 win team that could go to 92 if things fall right. And
yeah, they could have a similar run. I mean, it all was on their run 2 years ago was what's his name, second baseman, drawing a blank, awful
Murphy.
What was that?
David Murphy.
David Murphy, yeah. So, yeah, he gets hot and carries them through the playoffs. And
exactly. Crushing bombs off lefties like nobody's business.
You know, you had one player who got hot and elevated, you know, the entire team, pretty much took him for a ride.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the Mets in the minor leagues have Ahmed Rosario, who is 21, 22 or whatever, and he looks like he's supposed to be the next thing, like a shortstop. They've, Asdrubal Cabrera, Asdrubal. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite names, by the way, right up there with Pujols, is Asdrubal. Because there's nothing, the only thing worse than having Pujols is when you have an Ash Drubal.
It's a good thing his name, there's no, I wonder if there's, and hope there's no Ash Drubal Pujols out there.
It's a little redundant, but yes. But I mean, they're going to have things go right for them to catch up to the Nationals. The Nationals, they signed, they traded for Adam Eaton, mm-hmm. right? And they, what do they got? Their starting rotation is Scherzer, Strasburg,
Gio Gonzalez,
and then Tanner Roark and Joe Ross, right? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Their bullpen is a little iffy. The back end, they don't have a closer. They're going to do a bullpen by committee type thing, and I don't understand why they didn't get David Robertson from the White Sox
they
when
tried.
They were grabbing.
Yeah, they were.
But like, just work it out, man.
Yeah, they were.
Work it out.
Well, it's not, you know, season hasn't started yet. There may be a couple of surprise trades coming.
I just feel like that's a bad move. I mean, you have to have a closer. If you're one of these teams, most teams, it doesn't matter who your closer is. Like, you just get a guy who can shut whatever. But when you're talking about a team that's going to go, I mean, obviously they're going to trade for something, right? Like, unless one of their bullpen guys just turns out to suddenly be,
which could happen.
Away, it could happen, but they traded away two of their better arms in the minor leagues, and they have a couple other guys down there. I mean, they got a couple of young prospects building for the future to replace Harper when he signs with the Yankees or Dodgers or Red Sox or whomever. I can't imagine it's anything other than those three teams for him. For ego and money, it's got to be one of those three. But they had a couple guys coming. Victor Robles, woo! That's a five-tool player right there. You don't see those very often. It's pretty exciting. But what are they going to do this year? It's Worth in left and Trey Turner in center.
See, Trey Turner is the catalyst there, and which makes it interesting for Adam Eaton, too, as his fantasy player value. Turner is going to be leading off, which is what Eaton has done. So Eaton might wind up in the sixth hole. So what value is he going to have in fantasy baseball? And I have him, or had him.
Oh, yeah.
I may have him now that I've got an injury, but I do have him, actually. So, is he going to be valuable? And if he's in the sixth hole, he may not be scoring as many runs and have many opportunities to steal bases. So it's going to be an interesting, and especially with Dusty Baker as manager.
Well, see, that's the question, right? If it was a different manager, they would put Turner and Eaton up front, right? You probably go Eaton, Turner, Harper. So you go left, right, left. And then what do you do? Who else do they have that's big? They got Rendon.
Mm-hmm. And Worth.
And then Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, David Murphy. Oh, my gosh. David, completely forgot about David Murphy.
Yeah,
so he's batting fourth. And then, because you got to break up those lefties, right? It can't go Eaton, Harper. It can't go. Why are we talking about this,
John? I have no idea.
Trey Turner.
We're going deep.
Eaton,
we're going
Harper,
deep into the Nationals
Murphy.
Vault here.
I just think, like, this is the team to beat in that division.
Oh,
I agree. You know, like, I think they set themselves up offensively very well. I think pitching wise, they're a great starting staff. I mean, Scherzer and Strasburg are two of the top five. Six pitchers in the league, but it's weird that they didn't get a closer.
And that's something that they, you know, chances are good that they will be making a move to do that. You know, if
didn't they trade for Melanson last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how they got Melanson. Yeah. So
what do you think about the Marlins this year? Devastating loss.
The Jose Fernandez thing is a really sad thing. Especially he's so good, but also so charismatic, but also, like, just such a great pitcher. And, like, that's a 6-win difference for your team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to figure they're projected for 84 wins if they have him on the team. And, like, that's a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, like, 78. And, you know, like, I love Justin Bour at first base there. If he can get himself a full season at first, I'm telling you, 30 bombs, no problemo.
Yeah.
People who are in my fantasy baseball leagues, please disregard that last comment.
I think that where the Marlins could surprise is if they do work out a back end bullpen scenario where like Phelps could wind up, you know, getting saves and getting bullpen wins and starting. So he's going to be, I think, the key to their, you know, the getting to the bullpen with their younger pitching staff.
They've done a great thing with their bullpen in that they set up for they have Ramos as the closer, but they're set up for, hey, you know what? Maybe if that doesn't work out because he has a little trouble with walks sometimes, you can throw in Barraclough or even Brad Ziegler could step in and
they,
be
the
guy.
They could so they're be well a set up. They could be a surprise. Yeah. They could sniff the postseason with a potential. I mean, if they're a 500
they're
team.
Solid all around the field, though. That's the thing. They're solid defense. Their pitching staff is my big concern with them. Like, I just.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, especially with everyone essentially moving up a notch on the.
Well, if Boer's an everyday player, gets his 30 home runs, Stanton comes back and is a 35 home run guy.
40, yeah.
Yeah, 40 home run guy, 120 RBI. I mean,
if he's back, he's 40 home runs. Yeah. Like, that's.
And then you've got Yelich is kind of primed for a big season. And he's having a decent spring, and he's actually doing well in the World Baseball Classic for the two or three people that are watching. but yeah, that
well, if me and the other people listening will have to just take your word for it.
Ozuna, if they get production out of those four players, they have potential to have four players hit 25, 30 home runs.
Yeah, I think they have an above average offense. I mean, Realmuto is a very solid guy behind the plate. Like, they have a very solid offense. It's above average, but it's what are they, and the defense is good, but the question is the pitching enough? And I at this point I just don't see it.
Too young really right now.
Okay, and they got Straley, but I don't know if Straley was like smoke and mirrors last year. That I see him getting just hammered. But Chen could, you know,
bounce. He needs to have a huge bounce back year,
go back to you know, bounce back to what he was doing. I don't know.
And
78
and
feels
and
right.
And Conley has to have a big step up. He's got to. He's basically has to fill Fernandez's shoes, which is impossible.
That's the problem. I like Conley as a number two. I mean, he's a 2-3, but like he had some real nice starts last year. He needs a little more development, but pushing him up the ladder one. And of course, there was no one else they could go get, and certainly no one that they could go get. This is just a replacement
for impossible.
Jose
it's just,
Fernandez.
You can't. You know, that's a setback, and that's a franchise setback that will hurt them for a couple of years. Because
feels like it, right? And it feels like it's going to weigh on the. I feel like that would weigh on people.
And because the challenge I think was is that people thought that with Fernandez and getting a maturing season out of Conley, you would have a strong 1-2. And a strong bullpen, which means they could, you know, muscle their way through the 3-4-5 and have Phelps spot start. Phelps was phenomenal last year. Absolutely phenomenal. And if they can get
two-way,
you know, production out of him to the same tune, and they would have been a playoff contender, definitely. But it's, I still think, and their minor league system is a disaster right now. They still have a long way to go. And I don't know how they're going to rebuild that.
And, of course, that's the bigger problem, right? Like, let's say they wanted to go out and get Jose Quintana Quintana from the White Sox. They don't have the pieces. They don't have the pieces. No. They'd have to give up some part of their team, like Realmuto or something like that, to get Quintana. And then you're like, okay, well, now you don't have a catcher.
Now, there's one thing that I can say that I'm really excited about Trump being president. Is that Jeffrey Lurie is going to be assigned as the ambassador to France. And if that happens, he go bye-bye. And that's a good thing.
You know, I can't even believe we haven't talked about this yet in all this, in all these podcasts. He's going to sell the team. The worst owner in baseball is going to sell his team.
And make a boatload of money.
I mean, he'll make, but good riddance. Like Frank McCourt before him, good riddance.
Right.
Like, this is a guy who has no business being in this business. You know, he's looking out for himself. He's screwing over fans, players. I mean, they can't really screw over the players too much. But fans, local people who aren't fans. Who are paying for his stadium. I maybe we haven't talked about it because I don't want to jinx it. But I want him out. And then after him, the Rockies guys. Because those guys are...
And I love the conversations that have percolated up about Jeter being associated with the Marlins ownership. moving forward. Yes. That, you know, that transform baseball should,
that's the right
baseball
idea.
Should thrive in Miami. It should be a destination ballpark. It should be a they should be a powerhouse. There's no reason why they shouldn't be, given the connection to the Latin American community. It should be a huge success, and it just hasn't been because of the indifference of Loria.
This is going to be a little dark, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I loved Jose Fernandez. He's the only pitcher not on the Dodgers or Red Sox who I would watch pitch. I didn't care about anyone else, but I would watch him pitch. I would use my MLB. Fantastic player, right? And there were talks about the Dodgers trading for him.
Never going to happen. Even though every year they talked about it.
It could never happen because he's Cuban, and in your Miami, you'd be insane. But here's the thing. If they had traded him, he would be alive.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy. But here's the other thing. He only went out partying that night that he died because they were going to push back his start one day.
To the Monday. Mm-hmm.
To the Monday. That's the only reason. If he was going to pitch the next day, he never would have gone out.
Yeah, there's
anyway,
a lot of...
that's a dark turn in this area, and it's just sort of one of those weird things in life where it's just like, it's any like the slightest little difference, and he would still be alive and entertaining people and bringing joy. Anyway, whatever. Let's move on to the next thing before it gets too dusty in here. The Braves.
Braves are doing some pretty interesting things. They really are.
Look,
they have their.
You know what they're doing? They're trying to get every pitching prospect they can find and put it on their roster, hoping that 20% of them turn into major league pitchers.
And they probably will.
And they will, because I think it's somewhere between 20 and 30% of pitching prospects turn out. And they have
a boatload.
A dozen really good pitching prospects.
And they've got a nice balance of young players and veterans that they've done. What's the guy that went down there?
Kemp. Phillips.
No. The president.
Dave.
The president.
Steve.
The president.
Trump? No. President Trump?
The president.
No politics.
John Hart. When John Hart went in there, and people were like, what is this guy doing? Because the first few moves that he made, it was like, there better be some method to this madness, because Braves fans were scratching their head. And there was. It was over the course of a year and a half, the plan emerged that, you know, I thought wasn't smart to be going into a new stadium by just ripping the team down to really just minor league players, which is what they were.
Right.
But they've now added some really nice pieces that their first season in the new park is going to be, you know, they could sniff.
It's not going to be an embarrassment.
No, it's not. And they're not going to be, they're not going to be the Astros with three seasons of 100 losses in a row.
Exactly.
So
it's going to be a solid team with a good future. Plus they got Dansby Swanson at short, who they stole from the Diamondbacks and got Stewart and La Russa kicked out of the league.
Right. They got him for a bag of peanuts.
And they have Inciarte, who's probably going to get traded because that's a valuable piece on a contending team. Mm-hmm. Excellent defender, you know, a good on-base percentage guy. I don't know that the Braves need a guy like that right now. But, you know, the Kemp signing, I love Kemp. Matt Kemp, so good as a hitter, so bad as a fielder.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine a player.
He's a rodeo
that
clown.
Looks so out athletic. He's a freaking rodeo clown out there. He needs a DH somewhere and just make home runs and doubles and not have all of his value sapped away by terrible defense. I still don't understand why an American League doesn't gobble him up.
Seats.
Especially now that the Dodgers and Padres are paying all his contracts.
Right. And it's marketing. It's for strictly, you know, the Phillips.
I know.
And all.
It's the name,
they're
right?
getting some names in there. And, again, makes a lot of sense. They're 2-3 years away from being the Cubs.
Yeah.
They're going to continue to make
moves. If everything
moves.
Breaks right,
all of these
then
players, they're going to flip these guys.
Yeah.
So they're going to sign people or trade for people, and they're going to flip them, you know, to a contender. Phillips won't be there. Kemp probably won't be there by the end of the year. Like you said, Inciarte probably won't be there. And they're going to get, you know, kind of like what the Yankees were doing. They were restocking their, you know, they just flipped guys and, you know, they get Chapman back. And they took a a haul for that. So smart, they're doing smart stuff. They, okay, maybe not the Cubs. Maybe they're maybe more like the Astros. That they're building a.
I like that comparison much better. I approve of that comparison, John. Who else is there?
The Phillies, another up and coming team.
Right, they got rid of Ruben Amaro Jr.,
which was the biggest thing they could have done.
Addition by subtraction, as they say, and they have made great moves. Yeah. They have built a very solid minor league system. They have a little bit of a problem with Reading, Pennsylvania, in that it's inflating some people's numbers down there. For those of you in dynasty leagues, grain of salt on a player that plays in Reading, Pennsylvania.
The old Eastern League.
Yeah, they have a good future lined up. Odubel Herrera, Rule 5 draft pick they got from a team that shouldn't have given him up. I don't know who gave him up. But he's their center fielder, and they got, you know, Tommy Joseph at first. Mm-hmm. Turns out to be pretty good. Rupp behind the plate, pretty good. And Michael Franco has not quite been the star that
still
people
has,
hoped he would be. But
still has a breakout potential, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of good pieces. I think they're probably not better than they were last year in terms of record, right? Because last year they got kind of lucky with some stuff. And, you know, I think they trade off Hellickson mid-year this year, which they should have done last year. And apparently they almost did, was the story. They almost traded him to the Marlins, right? And then some, I don't know.
Marlins are probably kicking themselves for not doing that, because that would have been,
a good acquisition.
Stronger rotation for sure this year.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so it's, I like what they're doing, but of course they're still a bad team. So if you're,
okay, so you were concerned about
they're doing the right thing. The Phillies, they're doing the right thing. What's that?
I was saying you were concerned that we were taking, you know, it was taking too long to get through the headlines.
Yeah.
Well, we're now approaching, you know, 58 minutes. So we.
Oh, well then, well, let's just end off.
Let's zip on into extra innings.
The rest of this stuff doesn't really matter. March Madness is happening. Brock Osweiler got traded to the Browns for a second round pick. Who cares?
Yeah, talk about that, but Osweiler, you know, talk about somebody who was like the wunderkind that was supposed to save Houston that turned out to be the bust of the year.
Well, here's the thing. This is why you stay with the team that you did well with, Brock Osweiler and other free agents out there. If it's a matter of $1 million a year, stay with the team where it's working.
Well, it's like the Garoppolo thing now. Where's this superstar in the making going to go?
Yeah, but he hasn't worked in New England. Osweiler was in Denver and doing well and chose to go somewhere else, and he should not
Garoppolo
have chosen to go
somewhere else.
Garoppolo
had a nice, two games, and then he got hurt? Two or three games? He was looking pretty good. People were like, we don't need Brady.
People are saying he could be a, you know, they could be traded for a first. It depends on how long Brady plays, right? Like, but they always have that with all these guys, Matt Castle and, you know, Barkley or whomever else the Patriots run through as their backup.
We're talking to the Patriots, about the Patriots again. I think we do that every episode.
That's because they're the best team in football by a lot.
So maybe we should change this podcast to Out of Bounds.
Oh, maybe this section is Out of Bounds.
It could be. We could this section we talk about, you know, the Patriots.
Or what if this is like the bullpen?
The bullpen.
I don't know. Because it's off.
Out of the bullpen?
Set off to the signs. I don't know.
So let's move. So you mentioned the Kyle Busch, Joey Logano dust up, and I think the big thing there is that a reason to watch NASCAR when they're beating each other up in the pits or throwing helmets at passing cars, or in Tony Stewart's case running people over. Well, that was probably a bad thing to say, but it definitely brought attention to a sport that usually is. Watched by a more beer drinking.
Well, the attention of on the sport is waning, and this is a good thing to do. You get some fisticuffs going, you get some crashes going. It's all good for the sport, man.
Boogity boogity boogie, let's go racing. Okay, last but not least, we have the biggest news of the week:
J-Lo and A-Rod.
There you go.
Good for them. Good looking guy. Good looking lady. famous, rich beyond anyone's imagination, working it out together.
And Alex has got his new gig and in baseball. Is it with
Fox? he went from being the league's heel to like the from being the bad guy, suspended the longest suspension in baseball history besides P. Rose. And now he's like everyone's favorite commentator.
Yeah, he did a great job 2 years ago.
It's more relative to the marketplace, if you ask me, because it's like it's not like he did such a great job so much as most of the guys that are talking baseball are just absolute turds.
Right. Well, you have Frank Thomas. He was on with Frank Thomas and Pete Rose, which is going to make anybody, look amazing. Frank Thomas.
Pete Rose.
This is a horrible.
Is there a crazier old guy they could put in there? Is Ty Cobb still around?
Rose is just so bad. He is the personification of a clown. I mean, he does look like a clown. You just put a red nose on that guy, and he wears the white buck shoes, so he already looks a little silly, with the way he shows up. And Pete Rose is he knows that he's a joke, I think he knows. Everybody else does. And he thinks that he's just one of those guys that's like, hey, get Billy to say something stupid. And he does, and everybody laughs, and they move on.
He's one of those guys that thinks he's in on the joke, but he actually isn't in on the joke. Right. Okay. He is the joke.
So that kind of wraps things up. So we wish J-Lo and A-Rod best of luck, and we'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good.